Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's Donal Kavanagh with you on till 12 noon today. And if you're wondering what Donal is doing presenting the show this morning, I can tell you the reason Donal is doing presenting the show this morning and the reason Donna Marie is producing is that Caroline and Greg are both en route to Brussels. And the show is coming from Brussels tomorrow, which is going to be a very interesting programme indeed. They'll be broadcasting from the European Parliament. Greg will be speaking to MEPs, people from Donegal who are working and living in Brussels, students from the transition year in Carndonagh Community School who are over in Brussels at the moment will also be joining Greg on the programme and giving him their impression of the European Parliament and all that operates around the area in Brussels as well. So a very interesting show indeed. MEPs as guests, people from Donegal working in Brussels as guests, and that's all happening on the 9 till noon show tomorrow. So Greg will be broadcasting from there, and so I'm doing the show today to allow he and Caroline get over there and get ready for tomorrow. A couple of comments before we go to a break. A caller asks, is it amazing or is it providence that now the Prime Ministers of ERA, the UK and Scotland come from the same or similar ethnic origin? That will be the case when Hamza Yousaf is sworn in Scotland. That's from Mary. What I would say to that is they are all of very different ethnic origin. That's a little bit like, you know, someone in another part of the world saying, sure, Ireland, England, what's the difference? And, you know, it's one of those things where there are so many different ethnicities around the world. There are so many traditions. There are so many religions. And I'm always wary of. Now, my understanding would be that Hamza Yousaf and Rishi Sunak would be from slightly different traditions, and Leo Varadkar, his family would be from a very different tradition. Again, now, I'm sure if you ask Leo Varadkar where he's from, he's going to tell you he's from Dublin. I think what it is that we are seeing a multicultural society develop, and there's an argument that says we're all the better for it, that we have lots of perspectives, we've lots of traditions, and we're getting a situation where we're developing far more understanding of the world, far more understanding of ourselves. And I think the more we understand the world, the more we understand ourselves. So maybe it's a very good thing that that's happening. Now, caller says, two headlines in the journal.ie. The first, as you mentioned, a family of eight is physically thrown out onto the street by a sinister group. The second is an ex-Fianna Fáil politician gets a write-down of €4.4 billion on his debts. There can't be a more glaring example of the horrendous inequalities in our country, so says a caller. Arlene Arkinson and Mary Boyle, two terrible tragedies that someone somewhere could help to soothe the awful trauma being suffered by both families. May they rest in peace. All one can say to that is amen. And another caller says, best wishes to Danny and the Donkey Sanctuary. They are fabulous, caring animal saviours. Another says, someone says, oh, sorry, I'm not doing that. Sorry, I'm not doing that. And another caller says, just wondering if you know anyone in the locality with the cure for a sprained ankle. There was a man in Sligo, but he passed away. And that's from a caller. I'll be honest, I have had a sprained ankle, and I have found the cure is raise it up and rest it. If there is someone that has a cure for a sprained ankle, we would love to hear from you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's a Tuesday morning. It's just gone 10:15, which means it is time for our Community Garda information slot. And delighted to say we're joined this morning by Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh. Eunan, good morning.
Donal, how are you?
Very well indeed. Eunan, can you just pull that microphone down a bit closer to your... just get a bit closer to it there.
You're
sounding a bit, that's an awful lot better. That's grand. You know, a couple of things to get through this morning, so we'll go straight into it. Starting off, fairly recently, actually, just this week, a burglary in Muff.
Yes, Donald Gardy in Muncrana are investigating a burglary which occurred in the Kildare Lane area of Muff on Saturday night, Sunday morning past. So it would have been Sunday morning, the 26th of March, at approximately 4:30 a.m. Entry to a private dwelling was gained through a downstairs window, and a safe containing a substantial amount of money was stolen from within the house. So we're appealing for anybody who may have witnessed any suspicious activity in the area around that time, that's Sunday morning 26, Sunday past at 4:30 a.m, to contact the Gardaí of Muncrana, 07493205400. And again, anybody travelling in the area around that time who has dash cam footage We'd ask them to make it available to the Gardaí in Buchanan. And again, the Garda confidential line can also be reached at 1-800-666-111.
A number of assaults that you're seeking information about, the first of them on Main Street in Milford.
Yes, this is an assault which occurred, Donal, on Main Street, Milford, last Wednesday, the 22nd, at approximately 11:45 p.m. outside the licensed premises. We believe the man has been assaulted at location, where he received substantial injuries to his head and hand, fortunately none of which are believed to be life-threatening. And again, if anybody witnessed the incident or has any information in relation to assault, to contact the Gardaí at Milford, 074-915-3060.
Another incident which happened in the Rafoe area.
Yes, this assault which happened on Monday the 27th at 8:55 a.m, so early in the morning. A dispute took place between two males in the area of the main street. One of the males was physically assaulted. Again, injuries were sustained, but fortunately not life-threatening in nature. So again, any witnesses or anybody who've heard anything or seen anything to come forward to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny 074-91-67100, or again, anybody in the area who has dash cam was passing near it to make it available to us.
Gardaí and Buncrana are investigating the theft of a ride-on mower, and that took place in Burnfoot last week.
Yes, between Monday the 13th and Thursday the 16th, so the week before last, at Elabeg, Burnfoot, a ride-on mower was stolen. The mower is a Kubota GR1600, a ride-on mower, bright orange in colour, so fairly distinctive, with a serial number of 363626. So bright and orange in colour, has a flat tyre on the front right-hand side and damage to the handle on the rear tipper. There was a bar and the tipper twisted, so again, fairly distinctive. So anybody comes across a similar type mower for sale or even offered for sale, please alert the Gardaí in Buchanan immediately. And again, any other relevant information in relation to the theft, to contact the Gardaí at Buchanan, 07493-205-40, or again, the confidential line is available, 1-800-666-111.
Staying in Inishowen, and we have an incident of criminal damage in Buncrana itself.
Yes, this occurred last Sunday the 13th at approximately 10 p.m. in the Loddon area of Buncrana. A white mini car was parked at the location near the filling station in Loddon, and we were aware that two males who were on foot, dressed in dark tracksuits with their hoods up, made their way over to the car and caused damage to the four tyres. So again, two males on foot, dark clothing, with hoods up. So we're appealing to anybody who travelled along that busy stretch of road at Loddon around the time and a may have dash cam to make the footage available to Gardaí at Buncrana, or again, anybody saw two males in the area acting suspiciously, again, to contact the Gardaí at Buncrana, 074-93-205-40.
An incident of criminal damage in the Lifford area.
Yes, this is a substantial damage was caused to a house in the Beechwood Grove area of Lifford on Tuesday the 21st of March. The front window of the house was damaged and substantial damage to the front door. Unfortunately, entry was not gained to the house, although we believe some attempt was made to get into the house. So again, we're appealing to residents in the area or anybody who saw anything suspicious to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny, 074-91-67100. So that's a criminal damage incident at Beechwood Grove, Lifford, last Tuesday, the 21st of March, 1:10 p.m.
And an incident in the Old Town area of Letterkenny Sunday just passed.
Yes, this is a substantial damage to a house also in the Old Town area of Letterkenny Sunday past, Saturday night, Sunday morning, so approximately 5 a.m. to 5:10 a.m. The window of the front porch of a house was smashed by what we believe is a young male who at the time was wearing dark clothing, white trainers, and again with the hood up. So the youth left on foot in direction of the Letterkenny Town towards the Old Town Bridge. So if anybody was travelling that area at the time, or again has dash cam, to make it available to the Gardaí. So that's a young male wearing dark clothing, white trainers and a hood up Sunday morning past at approximately 5:10 a.m.
And obviously anyone with information about any of those incidents we've just outlined there, as well as contacting the local Garda station, if they wish, they can also contact the Garda confidential line, 1-800-666-111. Now, people will have heard on radio and seen on TV and in their papers the latest Garda recruitment competition opened late last week, and the adverts are appearing regularly here and elsewhere. It's a very big recruitment campaign.
It is. Have you seen the ads? Have you?
I have indeed. Yeah.
Are you impressed? Or?
I'm quite impressed actually. Yeah. They are good ads. I mean, it's an interesting message. I mean, the message being it's a job worth doing. You know, it's sort of focusing on that sort of the role of the Gardaí within the community, and it's going beyond just a detective and solving crime. It's going into that community role that
you weren't tempted, no?
Heart. I did. I put it this way. I did the exam at the same time as my brother in 1981.
Oh my God.
I was invited for interview, but I also got another college place, so I took that. My brother was invited for interview, and I think he's got 32-year service now.
He's still in the job?
Oh,
yeah?
He's still in the job, yeah.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, yes, as you said, the recruitment campaign opened last week. And again, anybody interested in applying for an Garda Síochána can do so at www.publicjobs.ie. And you must apply before 3 p.m. on 14th of April 2023. This is a hope to recruit 1,000 new Gardaí before the end of the year. So the competition, Donal, has been run by the Public Appointment Service on behalf of Garda Síochána. And as you said, the recruitment campaign is along the tagline, it's a job worth doing, and gone live across TV, national and local print, and outdoors since the 24th of March. So the campaign is based on insights from Gardaí and features real-life examples from individual Gardaí throughout the country. Again, it aims to show the nature of the job, working 4 a.m, making arrests, physical activity, as well as the significant personal and social benefits as engaging with communities, arresting criminals, helping victims of crime, and, of course, the camaraderie that we have in our organisation. So on the publicjobs.ie website, there is a candidate information booklet which deals with the selection process and what's involved to become a member of Garda Síochána. And also a recruitment open day will take place in the Garda Boat Club, Island Bridge, Dublin, on Saturday week, the 8th of April, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And again, a variety of sections of our organisation will be showcased on the day, and information assistance with the recruitment process will be provided. Again, it might be a bit far for people from Donegal to travel, so we'll be having here information stands and career-related events at shopping centres and other areas over the coming weeks. And again, anybody who wants to join or thinking of joining, to contact the local Garda station, speak to local Garda, again, call in. Maybe I know people who have joined previously have also been provided with a look around the station to see what's involved and speak to some of the specialised units and other parties in the station.
Yeah, it's certainly one that you would advise anyone, you know, to have a think about, because it is, as they say, a worthwhile profession, and the role of the Garda a hugely important.
Yes, and there is a facility if you're currently studying for a degree or whatever in your final year and you're considering joining. There is a facility to you to apply and hold off on your acceptance until you finish your degree course.
Yep. All that information, publicjobs.ie. And as Eunan said there, call into your local Garda station. Sometimes nothing beats just having a chat with someone and just sitting down and saying, listen, what's the story here?
Exactly.
And people will be only too delighted to facilitate that. Eunan, a pleasure as always. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, thanks for
joining
having
us
me
this morning.
It's Thank you.
A pleasure. And we will see you again. That's Sergeant Eunan Walsh there. That was our Community Garda slot on Highland Radio. This is the 9 till Noon Show on Highland Radio. Let's look at some of your comments, and one or two comments that have been held over from yesterday. Cyclists cycle side by side so they can chat to each other, but surely with today's technology, they can have earpieces and mics to chat and stay in single file. That's the perspective of one of our callers. We spoke to a representative of the Cycle Safety Organisation yesterday. Caller says the eviction ban was illegal. Terrible law. Every landlord will sell, and only the mega landlords. We actually did that one. Another story. I would like to hear the landlord's side of the story about that eviction. What if the tenants were not paying the rent and therefore the landlord could not afford to pay back their mortgage and the bank threatened repossession? There are some nightmare tenants out there as well who hide behind the rights of their children to take advantage of the law. And that is absolutely the case. That is correct. But what I would say to that is there are procedures in place. And from what we know about what happened in Bundoran, there was no procedure followed whatsoever. So in the case of bad tenants, in the case of money owing, there are procedures there. And as far as we can see from what we know of the incident in Bundoran, I am not aware of any procedure whatsoever being followed. Now, we're going to talk about the eviction ban and homelessness, because as I said earlier on, Donegal County Council yesterday adopted its plan for dealing with homelessness in the county. And the council also passed a motion that was moved by Councillor Albert Doherty, basically calling on the government to retain the eviction ban. Now, we're joined online by two councillors, Councillor Jerry McMonagall, who spoke on the homelessness issue, and Councillor Albert Doherty, who was the councillor that moved that motion calling on the government to retain the eviction ban. Councillor Albert Doherty, I'll go to you first. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal. Good morning, listeners.
And Councillor Jeremy McMonagall, good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Donal. Good morning to all our listeners as well.
Albert, I'll go to yourself first, as I said. You moved the motion and Council adopted it that you're calling on the government to retain the eviction ban. Realistically speaking, the government, having reached the decision it reached last week and got through the Dáil with it, realistically the government is not going to change its mind based on what's coming to it from Donegal County Council.
But maybe so. There are two national matters that will government will have to deal with this week, one from the Labour Party and one from Sinn Féin. As you say, there may be no change. But last night and yesterday evening, I appealed to my colleagues and referred to my colleagues in Donegal County Council to the whole issue over the eviction ban. It was there and it was designed to protect tenants who met their obligations, tenants who paid their rent, tenants who adhered to agreements, just no-fault evictions. And we, and in a particular county affected with the defective block issue, we have the impact of 88 eviction notices coming into force in Donegal on Saturday next. And my appeal was to put this to the front desk of Minister O'Brien and to say, yes, up here it's different. We're facing the defective block issue. We're facing a lack of supply. We're hosting hundreds and hundreds of visitors from Ukraine and those involved with IPAS, and we have not had the supply. And the government themselves were saying that they still have to put in some features that will mitigate the worst impacts of the ban's removal. We have 3 days, they have 3 days, so it's not going to happen, and I think the eviction ban, it has to be retained.
Councillor Jerry McMonagall, you obviously supported your party colleague on that in Lifford yesterday. You also spoke at length on that homelessness policy. One of the points you've been raising over the past while at meetings is that of modular homes. You moved an emergency motion some months ago, late last year, calling on Dara O'Brien to consider modular homes as a stopgap measure. As Councillor Albert has pointed out, within a matter of days we will have people facing evictions. But still, even though we are in need of a short-term solution, both to problems with evictions and problems with homelessness, not to mention problems with defective block homeowners, the reality is the government is showing no inclination to move toward modular homes and no alternatives with regards to a short-term solution.
That's correct, Donal. And I don't think any right-thinking person can understand the government's stance on lifting this eviction ban and how it's going to help and assist those who are affected by MICA and whose homes are being demolished as we speak. We have known for quite a while now, and we've bringing in motions at Donegal County Council, and indeed our housing spokesperson, Owen O'Brien, has been bringing in several motions to the Dáil in relation to how we could address the growing housing shortage. And this has fallen on deaf ears. The government's attempts to address the housing shortage has failed miserably, and all the initiatives that they have tried to introduce. And it's because they aren't putting the effort into it. They aren't thinking about it. They're just coming up with ideas off the top of their heads, if you ask me, and trying to say, yes, look, we have the housing for all. We have the derelict housing grant, but there's no substance to it. It is not resourced. And for anybody to access any of these grants or any of these initiatives, it's taken an extraordinary length of time. And while this is happening, there's no new social houses being built, and the private sector has all but stopped in counties like Donegal. So we're in a perfect storm here, and we've seen yesterday with the report that was given by Eamon Brown in relation to the Homeless Action Plan going forward. The difficulties that we have, we currently have 2,700 people on the housing list in County Donegal. Half of those are being served by the private sector. And now a lot, up to 88 people are facing eviction notices as from this weekend. And we have nowhere to put these people. We have no emergency accommodation, and we have no social houses which are available to house these families. And we've seen what happened last night, the night before, in relation to Bundoran, where a family of six were put out onto the street in the middle of the night. And this is what's going to be happening in the short term, and this is what's going to be happening in the long term until we put together a proper housing policy for people of Donegal.
One of the points being made by government is that we have what they're calling the tenant in situ plan, whereby local authorities will be given clearance in cases where someone is facing eviction and the house is going up for sale, that the council can buy the house with the tenant in situ and that the council will continue to rent the house to the tenant. Has Donegal County Council received any formal notification of that scheme, and has Donegal County Council received any indication from government as to what level of resources and what level of money is going to be given to the council to allow it to implement that scheme? Because at the moment, from what we're hearing from Dublin, it seems to be very heavy on policy but very light on actual resources.
And this is the problem. The policies might be there, but they aren't being resourced. In relation to the tenants in situ, I've spoke to our Director of Housing and Housing Staff and asked them, is it the case that as from next Monday, if a tenant who is being evicted from the home and it's up for sale, are we in position, is Donegal County Council in the position to buy that home? And the response I got was not very positive. It was, look, there's a lot of questions that still have to be answered by the department. There's a lot of I's have to be dotted and T's have to be crossed. And that they were recently there on Friday past in a Zoom meeting with the department, and all of the directors of housing from across the state were there in every county, and they were far from happy at what they're being told. So there is still a lot of work to be done on that. And while some houses have been bought, it is still not clear, is it coming out of the major urban areas into the likes of Donegal, Mayo, Leitrim, Sligo, and we still have not got a pathway to going in and being able to buy these houses where the tenant in situ is being evicted.
Albert Doherty, going back to you, and as a councillor in Inishowen who's been working closely with many people affected by defective blocks, you know that there's been a huge gap between a policy being enacted in the Dáil and then that policy being actualised and resourced by the Department of Housing. We've seen legislation go through the Dáil and a year later still nothing really happening at department level on the back of that legislation. Is it your fear that the tenant in situ scheme will go the same way, that the government will make a big announcement but the Department of Housing will allow it to become completely mired in bureaucracy?
It is my feeling that long finger approach may again result. The language used in my reply received yesterday was that in relation to tenant in situ, the local authorities are encouraged to purchase homes. That's not good enough. They must be instructed, know that they these mitigation circumstances are in place, that they can instruct councils to buy. I mean, Minister Cleary advising that Dara O'Brien pleaded with her chief executives to act positively to increase the housing purchase throughout the different local authorities. I haven't seen in black and white the word instruction. That's what's required, not encouragement. Yes, everybody wants to resolve, but we need to have the proper legislation in place that enables our council to purchase houses, that begins to increase supply. And yesterday in the chamber in Lifford, there was excellent support all around, but we asked, where is our town regeneration officer and action, and why are we having so long to wait on the enhanced scheme in relation to defective block? Donegal, we're on the long finger, and we need an immediate response. that allows supply and a resolution to this overdue enhanced scheme that's awaited in the county.
Well, the answer you were given, and Councillor McMonagall, a similar answer was given to questions at the Letterkenny Milford MD just some weeks ago, when the question was asked about the vacant homes officer and the town development officer. We're told the town development officer is in situ and is transitioning into the role, and the vacant homes officer final interviews are taking place this week, and it's hoped that position is going to be offered shortly. So we will hopefully in the not too distant future have a vacant homes officer and a town development officer in place, and both of those will be working closely, particularly in the area of dereliction. Now, dereliction on the agenda for a lot of yesterday's meeting in Lifford, dereliction also on the agenda at the various municipal district meetings as well. But I mean, in terms of taking derelict houses and bringing them back into use, the problem here is the same as we've already discussed. It's going to take some time for that to happen, and it's not going to be done particularly by next Monday, when this whole issue with the eviction ban is going to start kicking in.
That's absolutely true, and they will need to be properly resourced. They will need to be properly supported with legislation of what they can do. We will need a carrot and a big stick approach. We need an incentive for people to become involved in the town regeneration. And we need also encouragement, incentive and resources as well to allow for this dereliction story to be confronted. And we do want to put life back in our town centres, village centres, and there's so much to be done there. And the sooner we have a resourced support to commence this in the county, the better.
Jeremy McMonagall, can I put a point to you? Because we've had a caller make a point, and it's been made on several occasions, both here and elsewhere as well, right across the country, nationally as well as locally. Someone saying, very often when we speak of landlords, we're speaking as though they were vulture funds, we're speaking as though they were big, evil, multinational corporations out to suck the money from communities. Caller saying, the reality is, in many cases, a landlord, particularly in an area like Donegal, a landlord is a local person that has a second home, who is renting out that second home, and all the pressure being put on landlords at the moment, all the pressures from the eviction ban and everything else, is going to make many of those reconsider, sell their houses and get out of the game. And one of the problems is that the more pressure you put on landlords, the more they're likely to say, to hell with this, I'm out, and they'll just leave, and there'll be fewer properties available to rent on the private market.
I would hope not, Donal. In my experience, and I've rented a few houses in Letterkenny over the years I've been in it, I've always had a very good relationship with the landlords. They've always been quite good up front, trying to help and assist you in every way they could. And I would like to think that that would continue. But unfortunately, there is the vulture-type funds who have multiple dwellings, and they are not as good a landlord as the local landlord, as you've described as. And we do see that there, and we would like to help and support those local people who have maybe bought a second home, put up a family home for rent, and it's providing fantastic accommodation for local people and for the students that come to Letterkenny and attend ATU. And that's to be very much welcomed. And as I say, in the norm, that in the main, that there is a good relationship and a good example. But there is the vulture funds, and they're coming more and more into this. And there is the multiple house owners who maybe have taken on more than they can chew at times, and sometimes it's the service they give slips. But for the ordinary everyday, we understand that fully and fully support them. As I say, my experience has been quite a good one with them. But there is others who have multiple home ownership and the vulture fund. It is not as a good experience as what would be for the landlord who has one or maybe two houses. And the other problem that we have here, Donal, trying to get out of this homelessness situation and housing shortage, is that the banks and the lending institutions are refusing to lend monies to people who maybe are looking to invest in building more and new houses, and also in turning derelict homes into homes for use again, by families and individuals. And banks need to sit up and take notice of this. They have a role and a part to play in this rebuilding as well. And they get enough from us and have got enough from us down through the years. And it wasn't the ordinary businessman and person in the street who bankrupted the banks. They need to be stepping up the plate here, and they need making funds available for people to borrow to be able to utilise their derelict properties and bring them back into use, and for contractors to be able to buy new homes as well, or build new homes as well.
And finally, Councillor Albert Doherty, Donegal County Council, locally as well as government nationally, have a very big job of work to do now in the coming weeks and months to do what they can to alleviate and address the housing crisis. And as we always say, in this county, we have that added pressure of work being done on homes affected by defective blocks, and the perfect storm in Donegal, and that phrase used on a number of occasions at the meeting in Lifford last evening, the perfect storm is going to be that right at the time we have this huge crisis in terms of availability of rental properties, we also have many, many homeowners will be looking for alternative temporary accommodation while their homes are being demolished and rebuilt or being made good in other areas. So we have this situation where there is this added pressure on Donegal, and as both you and Councillor Gerry have said, that doesn't appear to be on Dara O'Brien's radar, and he doesn't appear to be reacting in the way that really, as a minister with responsibility for this, he should.
Yes, Donal, and the last item with Councillor McMonagle, the small landlord is the jewel in the crown. It's the person who is providing the much-needed housing supply at the moment, and there needs to be appropriate incentives there, and if there's tax implications that can be lightened or reduced, then that's important. Also, the experience that I've had over last summer, for one individual to be released from the Letterkenny University Hospital, we couldn't locate one suitable property for that person that would enable him to leave hospital and have an appropriate roof over his head. In our own situation in Carndonagh, we faced an autumn there just past where, because a landlord considered not extending his leasing, there was implications for six or seven local families, and it caused tensions, it caused stress, it resulted in Christmas decorations not going up, it resulted in Santa not being able to receive letters, and that uncertainty over this inability or not wish to lease again, these are all implications. And as you mentioned now, with a housing supply, we don't seem to be on Dara O'Brien's radar, and that's why yesterday, when I took forward that motion on the eviction ban to be extended, that was Donegal saying, until we have a suitable number of supply of housing and housing facilities, this ban has to be extended. We gave her a message yesterday. I'm not too hopeful that Minister Dara O'Brien has his ears open to the people of Donegal, and we may have to send a further message at another time in a different way. Sinead Donal.
Now, I want to go to Anna Doherty, who is the CEO of Londonderry Chamber, and Anna joins us on Zoom. Anna, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
Anna, a very important initiative coming up in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel, a breakfast briefing on cross-border tax, still a huge issue in this region.
Yes, absolutely. So this is an event that we run in collaboration with the Letterkenny Chamber, obviously our friends across the border, and in association with CBPES, which is the Cross-Border Partnership for Employment Services, which is a partnership which works across the border region, across the whole of Northern Ireland, plus Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Louth, Monaghan and Sligo in the south, and really is operating to help facilitate free movement of those who want to work on either side of the border.
And we've had many discussions recently, particularly after the pandemic, when the word glitches came up in the law, which meant that someone living in the Republic and working in Northern Ireland couldn't work from home in the Republic. And that proved quite an issue, and that proved quite a lengthy discussion with the Finance Minister. I think that one has been slightly resolved, but perhaps not fully resolved. And there are still some outstanding issues like that, which I'm sure will come up for discussion.
Absolutely, that will be covered certainly, Donald. And we have our tax expert, Rose Tierney. She will be coming in to explain all of the issues and bring everybody up to date, because it's such a changing situation. And as you say, there have been lots of issues like that for workers like myself, actually. Interestingly, I live in Inishowen and work in Derry. And so, yes, that working from home issue is high on everybody's agenda.
I mean, we know there are literally thousands of people who do exactly that. I mean, I think your counterpart in Letterkenny is the exact opposite, actually, if I'm correct in the way I'm thinking. In terms of people registering for that, londonderrychamber.co.uk registration is advised on that. And in fact, as far as I understand it, this isn't a walk-in event. You do want people to register first.
We do, Donal, very much so. And it's open to both employees who are working cross-border and employers. So there'll be information for both. It's totally free. And as you say, it's a breakfast event at the Inishowen Gateway Hotel, hosted there. So it'll be from 8:30 in the morning till 10. And you can register on our website.
And it's Thursday the 18th of May. It's a little bit of a distance away yet, but it's worth planning for, because, as we said, this is a major issue. It affects workers, but it also affects employers as well, and employers, particularly those with their workers' welfare in mind, which all employers obviously will have. You know, important for employers too, particularly those who may have a lot of cross-border workers, just to know exactly where they stand, because, I mean, ultimately, in many cases, in PAYE, it's the employers are the ones who are going to try and traverse this minefield and figure out exactly how much they should be charging everybody on behalf of the state.
Exactly. And as things are changing so much, and the fallout continues to happen after Brexit, you know, and there are changes, you know, keep coming down the line. And as I say, Rose Tierney is right on top of that, and she'll be able to advise employers and employees.
Excellent. Anna Doherty, CEO of Londonderry Chamber, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you, Donal.
And as we say, you can register at londonderrychamber.co.uk to register for that particular event. Now, I want to share with you a rather lengthy email that came into the show, but it's one that does bear some discussion. Caller says, Greg, I was listening to your show last week. I came across a section on a listener's complaint about two carers that called to her home to implement care. You read a lady's complaint about two particular carers not wanting to do their jobs and just wanting to get paid or not show up. You stated the person who wrote the complaint said she was afraid to complain about it and be threatened with her care package being withdrawn. She is entitled to complain without being threatened. This shouldn't be the case. They cannot do this. Can you readdress this on your show? The lady can complain to the HSC, haveyoursay.ie. The text you read resonated with me, as I have had a similar issue with two particular carers. I have a mother who I care for with dementia, bipolar, hard of hearing. We have a sit-in service as well as 3 visits per day for her personal care, such as shower, incontinence and any other needs. I had a few breaches in her care plan. My mother's care plan stated there needed to be 2 carers 3 times a day. Her care plan is broken in 45 minutes in the morning, 30 in the afternoon and 30 at night. She wasn't getting that. What should have been 45 minutes in the morning was turning into between 6 and 10 minutes and out the door again on most days. That's 6 to 10 minutes out of 45 to get her changed, into the shower, hair washed, dried and redressed. My mother, as I mentioned, has dementia, bipolar, hard of hearing. She was being rushed. At times, only one of them was turning up and still implementing care in under 10 minutes, signing both carers' names on the designated care log. Her plan stated there's supposed to be 2 people present on each visit. Luckily, we had CCTV outside the house. Therefore, I went back on CCTV to check out the timings of the care plan. I was able to prove the breaches were happening to the HSC using video footage. It was the same 2 people doing it all the time when I wasn't present. The person who contacted you needs to get this addressed about those 2 carers that were causing trouble for her. That person shouldn't be afraid to voice her complaint and concerns about these carers. If they have an attitude of just being there for the money and neglecting the client, they should not be in that line of work. Maybe the Home Health Office doesn't know this is happening. There are a couple of things the person can do. She needs to get a hold of her care plan and see how much time her loved one is allocated by the Home Help Office. She can phone the office in Lifford and ask to speak to the line manager or someone who is above them to voice that complaint. She's entitled to do so, particularly if she's receiving a service from them that she's not happy with. There is a complaints department in the HSC. You can write to haveyoursay.ie. You should get a very quick reply. That issue will then be investigated. If you're not then happy, you can contact Consumer Services Office at ch.cho1@hse.ie. The outcome of my situation was they contacted me by phone first and they apologised for what was happening. Then they changed the staff, the brand new staff. They then sent me a detailed report of which my complaint was upheld. If you're not happy with those solutions, you can contact the Ombudsman, www.ombudsman.ie. And that's a... And thank you very much indeed to the listener who emailed this in. It's very comprehensive. And I would absolutely say to people, if you are getting care and you're not happy with the quality and level of that care, you absolutely have the right to complain. And you absolutely have the right to demand what you are being given. Because what you're given in terms of care packages like that is the absolute basic. I've been in the situation where I've had... involvement in organising care for loved ones, and I'm delighted to say that in all instances, in our experience, the care they got was first class and what was promised was given, and we had absolutely no complaints about it. And most people are in that situation. However, there may be cases where that's not the case, and in those instances, it is absolutely important that you make your complaint known to the HSE.